Okay, so my story is a little bit different because I'm not a medical student. I went to school for journalism. So when I went to Eldoret, I was a journalism student. It was about 4 years ago in 2011, and I was a graduate student at the Ernie Powell School of Journalism. And while I was there, there was a flyer hanging up explaining the relationship between IU and AMPATH. And I'm a pretty adventurous person, and I'd never been out of the country before, so I thought, I want to do this. So 12 of us journalism students were accepted into this program, and we spent the first half of our summer basically learning about the HIV and AIDS virus. Professor Jim Kelly was our professor at the time, and he brought in experts and those who had been personally affected by HIV. And it was a great experience to learn about before we went. And so we were actually the second class through the journalism school that was going to go to Eldoret and stay at the IU house. So when we got over there, we actually paired up with another student at Moore University. So we each had a partner who was basically our friend, a journalist, and also our translator, because a lot of us did not speak Swahili. So basically our job while we were there was to basically tell the stories of those who were affected by HIV and AIDS, but to also talk about those who had experienced AMPATH or maybe just expand on the programs AMPATH offered. And so again, like we were the second group that went there, and we basically we had the freedom to basically go through Eldoret and go to the slums, go to the hospitals. We had the freedom to make these connections with the people in the town and to create these friendships, and it was incredible. We also, like many of us who had been to Kenya, we were greeted with friendly stares. We were called Mzungus on many occasions, and we were also greeted with Jambo. So while we were there, we basically, as journalism students, had to pick a topic that we wanted to write about. We had many stories that we wrote, lots of memories, but we had one topic that we kind of wanted to focus on while we were there. And a lot of us were drawn to the children there, and me especially, and I was drawn to the way that the children in poverty, how they lived. I went to the Longest slums, which is near Eldoret, about 5 times, and wrote most of my stories there. While I was there, I connected with the children who were affected by HIV and AIDS and how them and the parents did not have the means to not only go to town to find out if they were HIV positive, but to also seek the treatment. So that was kind of the topic that I relied on while I was there and I focused on while I was there. So the memory that I thought of when I was asked to do this speech was I went to the Longest slums one day with another student named Sean Morrison, and he was at the time an undergrad student, and I went there just kind of accompanying him into the slums, and he was in a story about jiggers, which is basically a flea or a parasite that attacks your hands and feet. Many people that were in poverty that lived in the Longest slums were susceptible to this parasite, and it was absolutely miserable. It would attack your feet and hands and keep you up all night. So these youth leaders, who were basically a link between outside organizations and the Longest slums, they were trying to empower kids and promote education. And they also tried to hook people up who were HIV positive or maybe thought they were HIV positive to AMPATH. So they kind of connected as this link between the slums and outside organizations. They were the two that hooked us up with this family that was affected by jiggers. So while we were there, Sean, he was interviewing this family, and I kind of tagged along, and I think my partner was busy that day, so the one with Moy University, she was busy, you know, doing something else, and I was with him just kind of tagging along, and I kind of just took in my surroundings around me, and, you know, I think it's hard for people who have never been there before in the slums to understand how different it is from the U.S., and many of us who have been there, you understand. These houses were made of mud and sticks. The roofs were, if they had 10 roofs, they had 10 roofs. You know, food was scarce. There was a lot of chickens and goats that kind of roamed the area, went in and out of the houses. There was no roads. There was a lot of trash and sewage that kind of covered the areas that you'd walk through. And there was no sanitation system. It was very hard to see. And but one thing that I became very familiar with was I saw a group of kids that were kind of out in the field and they were laughing and they were kicking the soccer ball around and they were having a great time. And I played soccer since I was 6 years old, so I immediately connected with them. Ever since I can remember, I've had a soccer ball at my feet from the age of six to through high school, and I played on multiple school teams, and I traveled around the Midwest and played. So I immediately was watching them having a great time, and I just got a kick out of them having a great time. But I think it really affected me because they were playing in this open field that was basically covered with trash. I actually have pictures of it that I took. You know, I had a camera on me the whole time, and they were playing over this layer of trash and sewage, and they were barefoot, and they were playing with this ball that was basically half its size. It was flat, and I don't even know if they realized that the soccer ball was not supposed to be that small. And so it really affected me, you know, to see them. I remember my times growing up. My first memories were me playing soccer with my dad in my yard and having, you know, the endless possibilities of shin guards and cleats and a soccer goal. And these kids had none of that. And they had tattered clothes, but they were having a great time. And we knew going over there that this would be a difficult time for us. We were warned before we went that we were not there to give money or presents or any monetary donations. This is not why we went there as journalists. We were there to tell their stories. We're not there to become part of their stories or give them presents again or change their lives in that way. We were there to interview them and get to know who they are and really share with the world their lives. But it was very difficult. And I had no idea that when I went there that I would wish that I was on a mission trip. You know, I wish that I could have helped them more in that way. There were times where, you know, in Eldoret, if some of you have been there, there were kids that were sniffing glue that would come up to me and beg me for money. Or I interviewed a woman that was 5 months pregnant who was HIV positive, and she begged me for some kind of direction of where she should go next. How does she have this baby without affecting the baby? And I remember I interviewed a family at the IDP camps who was... It was a family of eight living in a tent. And those were moments that were very, they were heartbreaking. But that moment really compelled to me because I played soccer when I was a kid, and I felt like a connection to them. So Sean and I, when we left that day, the longest slums, we went back to the IU house, and we talked about it, and we said, you know, let's buy them a soccer ball. So we went to town, we got them a brand new soccer ball, and we also got them some candy because, you know, what kid doesn't like candy? So we went back the next day, and you know, we asked the elders and the parents there, you know, would it be okay if we gave them a soccer ball? These kids that didn't, you know, they had this flat ball they've been playing with, and they said that's fine. They were a little confused, and the kids were a little confused as well, but of course they didn't hesitate to take the ball. So we gave them the ball, and we kind of finished our stories, and we came back later, and the group of kids had doubled in size. I mean, I think that there were some kids that probably were in the neighborhood that had played, but then there was kids that came from schools that were in their uniforms that joined the group, and they were playing with the ball, and we also kind of joined in, and I hadn't played in years at this point. I was a graduate student, so I don't know, I've been like 5 years, and I, you know, I got the ball, and I kicked it around with them, and I juggled a little bit, and they thought it was the funniest thing ever that this Mzungu was playing soccer with them. So, you know, they laughed and pointed, and they spoke Swahili, so we didn't really talk much, really, but the kids, they wanted to chase you and touch you and have a great time. And, you know, it was one of my favorite memories, being there. And I went back a couple days later to do some more stories in the slums. And I remember walking by there. And the ball must have gotten way too much attention because it was flat again. So it either hit a fence or maybe they had used it too much. But it was in half again, and it was like a disc. But they still continue to play, and we're having such a great time. And, you know, it made me a little sad to think that they had maybe one chance of having this nice soccer ball to play with for a day, and it ended pretty quickly. But, you know, it was also one of my favorite memories to spend with those kids and to see them so happy and just to get to know them and get to know their families. And I also, I talked to Sean recently, and we both agreed that it was one of our favorite purchases we've ever made in our life. And when I was asked to do this talk, I kind of wondered, you know, you guys have all, obviously, medical students have made such a big difference in their lives. And I wonder what us 12 journalism students did there for a month. Like, what impact did we make? And I can't help but wonder, you know, all the time, what did we do in 2011 that changed someone's life? But, you know, we didn't go there and build houses. We didn't hand out presents or give out money. And if anything, it changed my life. But I think that it's moments like these where I'm able to tell the story of the longest slums or of these kids or of AMPATH and why we went there, that it's so important that this partnership continues, that I really think that it made such an impact on not only on my life, but hopefully on those kids and anyone who's been involved with AMPATH. And I just hope that it continues and the partnership it's made such a difference in people's lives. I just hope that it continues. Thank you.